Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church on this beautiful, sunny Sunday morning. Our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We find that word, therefore, and I was taught that when studying the Bible, upon coming across that word, to ask, therefore, what's it there for? In this case, we see that Jesus' words in our text follow the sending out of his 12 disciples, the persecution that they will experience, and the exhortation to hear and to fear the Son of God and not men. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it would be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Those who would choose to accept that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord, God, and Savior, are accepted by the Father in heaven. But those who would reject the truth revealed to them about who Jesus is are excluded from heaven because of their unbelief. So let us learn that confession is the natural result of believing the truth about the person of Jesus in one's heart. We find these terms, confession and belief, working hand in hand in Paul's epistle to the Romans. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Consistent with John 3:16, that whoever believes has eternal life, and Acts 16, verses 30 and 31, what must I do to be saved? Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Belief in one's heart that one is a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus Christ is he who died for our sins and rose from the dead is that which saves a man or a woman from sin. Beware of false understanding of our text and subtext. A public confession is not a requirement for salvation. Even a private one, man to man, is not required. Rather, it is the confession in one's heart between you and God which does it. However, the automatic response of the heart that has received God's grace and mercy is to want to speak up about it, because that's what Christians do. Confessing Christ before men is not the precursor to salvation. It is evidence of salvation. that which is an accompaniment to, an immediate outworking of one's receiving that great grace of God. It is fruit, as it is written, by their fruits you will know them. And it is also possible, so let each beware, to make a confession unto Christ, and for that confession not to be genuine, and to be counted amongst the number of those who cry, Lord, Lord, in the day of judgment, and are cast out into outer darkness, because the Lord never knew you. The apostles were put on trial, just as Jesus had prophesied, and were given the opportunity to confess Christ before men. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. Sound familiar, right? Jesus said they're going to go before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Because of this, God the Son will confess that these apostles are his before the Father. My brother Brian and I were doing some street evangelism yesterday, and we came upon a gentleman who, when we began speaking of Jesus, immediately confessed Christ as his Savior. This is wonderfully encouraging. And this is the fruit of a saved man. I've also come across folks who attend the church. They even serve in one. But when I begin to speak of Christ and the great person, Lord, God, and Savior that he is, they are hesitant to confirm their faith. Even in that. And I wonder, are they really saved? God knows. But it seems that to not readily confess Christ is tantamount to denial. So let's read a little further in our subtext in the book of Romans. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. In other words, there's plenty of room in God's kingdom for one more, even for you. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, this sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Friends, you may not have the special anointing of the spiritual gift of evangelism, but you are still called to confess Christ. And in that sense, we are all called to be preachers because we have been sent. Mark's summary of the Great Commission: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Or do you not care that souls are dropping into the pit of hell this very minute? And people you know will go to that place also. Take seriously the words of the prophet: I have made you a watchman. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. It's pretty scary. Yet if you warn the wicked, he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way. He shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. In other words, you fulfilled your commission, your portion of the Great Commission. You've done your job. The Lord surely has done his, and it is up to that individual what they are going to do with the message of the cross. Further, for the Christian, it is up to that individual whether they will repent or not of that which has caused them to fall from their communion. The Lord always provides a way back and will in no wise cast out those who come to him with a broken and contrite heart. So friends, do the work of an evangelist. No matter how much you may feel that you are inadequate to the task, you have a testimony. You believe, you heard the word. You believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have a story to tell, so tell it. Myself, I'm a natural introvert. You never know it. It'll work at this. And the chief of sinners. And yet Christ's compassion and command compels me to seek his help to overcome that which may cause me to neglect the gift that he's given me. And it ought to compel you too. It certainly compelled the Apostle Paul, who says this: and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. That's somebody who's arrogant and who's totally set in their ways and won't budge an inch for pride, not even to hear correction. Insolence. Usually we think of insolent children, but we can be an insolent bunch as well. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. And so, friends, believe that Jesus is the Christ, Lord, God, and Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. And then get busy praying, forgiving, repenting, Bible reading, church attending, and soul winning. And be encouraged by the fact that you have an advocate before the Father speaking in your behalf, confessing you, believer, as his own. Jesus never leaves his people alone or without help. He is your refuge, your hiding place, a very present help in time of trouble. And in light of all this, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So, friend, will you act upon this word this morning? If your need is to believe, will you be saved today? If so, take the opportunity to confess Christ before men. But first, make your calling and election sure. Christian, will you take Jesus seriously enough to obey him? And if you do, will you confess and serve him like never before? Consider as you go about your business today and tomorrow, as the Lord presents opportunities to you to witness for him in word and in deed, that whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will give us the boldness to confess you as you give opportunity. To confess you in the moment that you call to our minds, call to remembrance your word, those scriptures, those facts concerning our testimony, those applications that are most needful when we're put on the witness stand, whether it be before a council or before our spouse or our children or our parents, unbelieving family members, co-workers, church members, or those associated with your professing church, whether they be of this assembly or another, in the public square, in every other place. Lord, may your name be named, and may our witness and our testimony match our profession more and more each and every day, that folks may desire what we have. May we not be living in the sins of anxiety, or anger, or bitterness, or any other thing that might be more indicative of one with worldly concern than one with kingdom concern. May you sanctify, set apart for service, make holy each and every one of your people in this assembly, beginning with the chief of sinners, myself. And Lord, may you use us according to your will. Grant us discernment with regard to how to utilize our spiritual gifts in a way consistent with the teaching of your word, the Holy Bible. Lord, may you bring about healing, spiritual healing, to those who have need of it. Each and every one in this place, as well as our brothers and sisters associated with this ministry, a renewed desire to learn and observe the apostles' doctrine, to be a part of the fellowship, to participate in the breaking of bread, and to be in prayer, both privately and publicly. May you give us the strength to bear through our physical infirmities, those who are not here this morning because of illness. May you grant them a measure of peace in their discomfort, a pain, even those of us who may be here this morning dealing with those things and persevering through them. Fill your people with peace. And those who are dealing with mental and emotional infirmities, dealing with them even unto sin, in most, if not all, cases, may you grant the healing and a discernment of your will. Gentle tug of your spirit upon each and every heart, mind, soul. God bless each and every one of us, and God help each and every one of us. May our worship be found acceptable in your sight this morning. For truly, Lord, you are worthy. You sent your Son down to save sinners. You died, bled, as each and every sin was cast upon you at that cross. You rose from the dead, and you reach out today, always faithful, notwithstanding the unfaithfulness, even the insolence and the stubbornness of your people, that if we will confess our sins, you will continually be faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us. So, Lord, we ask these things this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.